Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, brought to you by the OU Israel Center and IsraelNationalRadio.com. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat Parshat Mishpatim, Ve'ele HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lefnehem. This is the parsha that has the recap of Matan Torah, even though we associate the experience at Sinai with Parshat Yitro last week. There are very significant parts of the description in the Torah at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, including the famous Na'aseh V'Nishma, which is in Parshat Mishpatim, not in Parshat Yitro. In Parshat Yitro, we managed to say Na'aseh. We said it again in Mishpatim, and then finally we said the famous Na'aseh V'Nishma. It is also Shabbat Mevorchim Chodesh Adar. We'll talk about that too. But first, let's take care of Psalm 130, and let's mean it. Shir ha-ma'alot mi-ma'amakim krati'cha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imecha ha-selicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho-cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, viyotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeyafela laora, umishibud lageula, hashta bagala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen.
Oh,
significant starting point in Parshat Mishpatim is the opening word, actually the opening letter, Ve'elah Mishpatim. And these are the statutes, Asher Tasim Lifnehem, that you shall place before the people. Rashi says, Ve'elah comes to attach and to add to the previous issues. In other words, don't think that the revelation at Sinai consists of, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, the laws of idolatry, taking God's name in vain, Shabbat. Yes, that's part of revelation at Sinai. So as thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not kidnap, and thou shalt not bear false witness, nor covet. But also part of revelation at Sinai are the 53 mitzvot in Parshat Mishpatim, plus all the rest of Taryag mitzvot, and that's a very, very important concept. There are people who read Parshat Yitro and walk away with the feeling that the sum total of revelation at Sinai is the Ten Commandments, Aseret HaDvarim. But if you go to the end of Parshat Mishpatim, you have a recap in different words of the events of Sinai, and you have very clear statement by God calling to Moshe to ascend the mountain, where he will receive, I'll read it to you, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ale Eli Hahara, Veheyesham. Ascend the mountain and be there. Ve'etana lecha et luchot ha'evan, I will give you the tablets of stone, ve'hatorah, ve'hamitzvah, and the Torah and the body of mitzvot, asher katavti lehorotam, that I have written in order to teach the people how to behave. What we find in Parshat Mishpatim are expanded ideas of most, if not all, of the Aseret HaDibrot. We have a follow-up of Shabbat in the form of Uvayom HaShvi Tishbot, in the form of Shemitah, in the form of the Chagim, which are related to the sanctity of time, which is represented by Shabbat. We have the punishment for murder. We also have an expanded discussion if the murder was unintentional, and the concept of an ir miklat. We have an expansion of the idea of not stealing, and various and sundry other practices. So we find almost a detail of the Aseret HaDibrot spelled out in Parshat Mishpatim, plus topics that are not directly mentioned in the Aseret HaDibrot, but it also indicates that these are all part of what God revealed at Sinai. Famous question people ask about the many of the statutes in Mishpatim and similar ones elsewhere in the Torah that lend themselves to logic and common sense. Let's say the laws of damages. It is reasonable in any society for there to be a concept that if you cause damage to someone else, you have to pay for it. So why is there a body of mitzvah on the law of damages? It belongs to common sense, and people should be able to develop their own statutes, which in fact other nations are commanded to do in the one of the seven Noahide laws called Dinim laws. But for the Jewish people, details are spelled out because very often God's picture of what he wants us to do goes well beyond the common sense and logic. A beautiful example of this is the portion of Im Kesef Talvet Ami, when, and not only if, but when you lend money to poor people among the Jewish people, you're not allowed to take interest. You're not allowed to demand
repayment of a loan if you know that the person can't pay you back at this moment. That's an unusual kind of thing. You want me to be nice and lend money to a poor person? Fine. But I lent it to him. I didn't give it to him as a gift. I'm entitled to get it back, and I should be entitled to ask for repayment. And if it makes him uncomfortable that I'm asking for my money back, too bad. That's the human logic. That's the limit of human logic. God demands more from us. Lo tihielo kenosha. Don't hound him for it. And more. If you take a security from him for your loan, which reason says you're entitled, give it back to him when he needs it. Wait a minute. You told me I could take a security for a loan. I'm not giving him money. I'm lending him money. In fact, we prefer lending to giving charity. But then you tell me I can't ask for it back if he can't pay me. You're telling me I have to return the security that he gave me for the loan to which I was entitled when he needs it. These are things that demonstrate why our codes need to be commanded by God and not left to human logic and common sense. Human logic and common sense fall short and sometimes even is cruel. God's commands are there, some of which we understand and some of which we don't, and Parshat Mishpatim contains its fair share of logical, reasonable, common sense commands, as well as enigmatic chukim. Famous example, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, not cooking a goat in its mother's milk, or an animal in milk, and other examples. Let's have a listen to a track from the Zmirot tape, the Zmirot album of Noam Productions. This is one that extols the special honored day of Shabbat. This belongs not only to Parshat Beshalach, where we have our first introduction to the sanctity of Shabbat. I should say Bereshit, but Beshalach is where we got it as a people. And before Matan Torah, and then in the description of Matan Torah and Yitro, we have, of course, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. And here, in Parshat Mishpatim, we also have an important mitzvah related to Shabbat, the positive command to abstain from Malacha on Shabbat in honor of God. Yom Zeh Mechubad.
ששת ימים תעשה מלאכתך, ויום השביעי לאלוקיך, ויום השביעי לאלוקיך. שבת לא תעשה בו מלאכה, כי כל עזה ששת ימים. יום זה מכובד מכל ימים, כי בו שבת צור עולמי. יום זה מכובד מכל ימים, כי בו שבת צור עולמי.
ראשון הוא לבקרוא את קודש, יום שבת סון יום שבת קודש, היום שבת סון יום שבת קודש.
לכל משמנים שתם מבטקים, כי קליטה לכל בודה בייקים, אוי כי קליטה לכל בודה בייקים. וגעת ללבוש לכם חוקים, בשר ודגים לכל מנעמים. יום זה חובתי כל ימים, כי בו שבת צור
Vatzo Olami.
Osaksar Kobo, Yachato Visavato,
Rakores Hashem Elokeno,
Rakores Hashem Elokeno,
Hashem
Shomayim misafrim misafrim kevodo, bigamoretz malachazdo, bigamoretz malachazdo. Riyuki cholei meosis hayado, imu hatzuri alos hamei.
Yom zemechu bani kol yomi, kivo shavas tzur olami.
I recently had an opportunity to catch Rabbi Shalom Gold and asked him for a Dvar Torah about Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah. And this is what he had to say.
Every child is aware of the famous Medrash that says that before God offered Torah to the Jewish people, he offered it to the nations of the world. And in series, they all rejected it. He came to Esav, and he offered Esav Torah, and Esav asked for a sample, Ma Katuv Ba, what is written in Torah, dear God. And God said, it says, Lo Tirzach, thou shalt not kill. So Esav said, you know, I really appreciate the offer. It's a very nice offer that you've made, very generous offer, but we cannot accept a Torah that says, Lo Tirzach. So God made his merry way to Yishmael. And Yishmael, fascinatingly enough, asked the same question, Mar Kosov, or what's written in Torah, give me a sample. So he said, well, Lo Tignov, thou shalt not steal. Yishmael says, I'm sure there are a lot of good things in Torah, but we've got, sorry, it says Lo Tignov, we can't accept it. And so the Medrash seems to imply that God went from nation to nation, until finally Hofia Mehar Poron Vaoso Merivavos Kodesh, finally God arrived at Sinai and he offered Torah to the Jewish people, and all jointly said, Naase V'Nishma, we shall do and we shall hear. Now what's fascinating about the Medrash, of course, is the following. Why indeed should Esav and Yishmael reject Torah? Because this Torah says, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal is the basic and fundamental principle upon which every civilization since the dawn of man is based. If there is no legislation against murder and thievery, the entire fabric of a society is torn to shreds. The entire structure of a civilization collapses to the very ground. If they would have, if God would have given them a sample and says, listen, in my Torah, I have a law about a parah, a duma, a red heifer. And Esav and Shmuel would have said, sorry, God, we simply can't understand that. And therefore, we reject it. I would have understood the Medrash. Or if God would have told him, you better take all your clothing to a Shabbos laboratory before you wear it, because you can't wear a mixture of wool and linen. And they would have said, God, sorry, it's simply beyond our ability to understand. We're logical, rational human beings. We reject this. But that's not it. They rejected Lo Tirzach and Lo Tignov. What does the Medrash tell us? There's another fascinating thing about the Medrash, and that is the fact that both Esav and Yishmael, and for that matter, most probably all of the nations of the world, so to speak, proverbially, respond to God by asking a question. Ma Kosov Bo, what's written in Torah? And of all the uncharacteristic things about Jews, when they're asked a question, they seem to sound like goyim. No question is asked. They say Jews answer a question with a question, but no, over here, Klal Yisrael says, Naase V'Nishma, we will do over here. What the Medrash is really telling us is the following. It would have made absolutely no difference what example God would have given. By virtue of the fact that you're offered a Torah by the creator of the world, the omnipotent, the omniscient, and you ask him, Ma kosov bo, what's written there? That means you're saying, I'm not ready to accept upon myself the heavenly yoke. I'm going to decide. Ma kosov bo, I want to hear what's written there, and I'm going to decide if it's good for me or not. And therefore, the rejection was already built into the question itself. And all that God wants to point out is even the Lo Tirtzach and the Lo Tignov is also reason for them not to accept it. And obviously, there are light years of difference that separate Lo Tirtzach and Lo Tignov, that is the creation of man, and the one that is the creation of God. A Lo Tirtzach that is of human making can, of course, be explained that, well, it applies to blonde, blue-eyed Aryans, but Jews are vermin and should be exterminated. You can play games with man's Lo Tirtzach and man's Lo Tignov, but you can't play any games with God's Lo Tirtzach and God's Lo Tignov. Klal Yisrael understood that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers Torah, what they do is they bend before the Almighty God and say that we accept upon ourselves Ol Malchut Shamayim. And therefore, the voice of God booms out from the top of the mountain. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God, who has taken you out of the house of bondage in Egypt. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Shalom Gold, for those inspiring and insightful words. As a farewell to the month of Shvat, which we associate in our mind with Tu B'Shvat, I would like to play part of the song. It's from an album called Aish, which has the music of A.B. Rottenberg. The song is called Ilan Ilan, Ilan Ilan, Tree Tree. The words come from the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit. I will elaborate from the Gemara after you hear the song. But these words that are sort of abridged from that piece of Gemara are Ilan Ilan, Bame Avarchecha, how can I bless you? Shall I say that your fruits shall be sweet? Your fruits are sweet. Shall I say that your shade that you provide should be pleasant? The shade that you provide is pleasant. However, I will bless you that it may be God's will that all the plantings that come from you should be just like you. Ilan, Ilan.
Ilan, Ilan. Amo avorechecho, Ilan, Ilan, amo avorechecho, amo avorechecho.
Should know I came in a
song Ilan Ilan, A.B. Rottenberg and Shlomo Simcha, with a Zimmer orchestra conducted by Yisrael Lamb, the album called Eish. I looked up the Gemara in Ta'anit, and it starts with one person asking another for a blessing. And the person who asked for the blessing was a Talmud Chacham, was a wealthy person, and the other one said, I should give you a bracha, let me give you a mashal, a parable, an analogy. And he said, guy was walking in the road, very thirsty, very hungry, very tired, and he sees this tree. And he goes and he enjoys the sweet fruit of the tree, and the cool water of a little stream beneath the tree, and he relaxes and rests in its shade. And he turns to the tree after all of this when he's quite relaxed and satiated. And he says, Ilan, Ilan, how can I bless you? Shall I say, may your fruits be sweet? They are sweet. Shall I say, may your shade be pleasant? It is pleasant. Shall I say that the stream that runs beneath you, or the spring beneath you, should be delicious, sweet water? It is. Ah, I have it. I will bless you that all the plantings that come from you should be like you. So too, says the man, what am I going to bless you with Torah? You have Torah. Bless you with wealth? You have wealth. I bless you that all of your descendants shall be like you. Beautiful idea. The connection even stronger because of the Torah's statement, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. Man is like the tree in the field, and there is much from that comparison, has various offshoots, pun intended, but this is our farewell to the month of Shvat. Anyway, to greet the Shabbat, Mevorchim Chodesh Adar, here are some of the words from the end of the introductory paragraph to Rosh Chodesh Benching from an album called Anenu. Surly Ginsberg, the song Chaim, the blessing that we should have a life filled with love of Torah, Yirat Shamayim, and one that God will fulfill all of our desires, Litova, to the benefit, to the positive, to the plus side, Amen, Selah.
Hey, bonu ahava stoyra yiras shmayim. We khayim shete hey bonu ahava stoyra yiras shmayim. We khayim shete hey bonu ahava stoyra yiras shmayim. We khayim shete hey bonu ahava stoyra yiras shmayim. We khayim sheyma le hashem. Ay mishal lo izli beyno. Khayim sheyma le hashem. Letoivo, letoivo, mezelo, ayayay, chayim sheyimale Hashem, mimishalo izlibeyenu, chayim sheyimale Hashem, letoivo, letoivo, mezelo, oy chayim shetehei bonu ahav, astoyedo yirashmayim, chayim shetehei bonu ahav, astoyedo yirashmayim. We chayim shetehei bonu ahav, astoyro v'yirav shemayim. We chayim shetehei bonu ahav, astoyro v'yirav shemayim. Ayen yechayim sheyimah le'ashem, oy mishalo izli beyinu. Ay chayim sheyimah le'ashem, ahay letoivo, letoivo, mezero. Ayen yechayim sheyimah le'ashem, oy mishalo izli beyinu. Toilo, toilo, miserable.
Hashavua. This follows the well-known rule of Tadir Vishenu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. When you have things that are more frequent and those that are less frequent, the more frequent things usually go first. I say usually just to hedge my bets there, because there are exceptions to the rule. But Parshat Hashavua goes first, and finally we have Shkalim, which then follows with the special Haftarah for Shabbat Shkalim. I would say all authorities agree that Shkalim, among the four special Torah readings these upcoming weeks, is a fulfillment of a rabbinic command to temporarily remember the mitzvah of the half-silver shekel, since we cannot actually fulfill that mitzvah in our time without a Beit HaMikdash. There are two major commemoratives of the mitzvah of Machatzit HaShekel. One of them is the public reading of Parshat Shkalim on the Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh, or right before Rosh Chodesh, and that is what we will be fulfilling this Shabbat. The second commemorative of the mitzvah of half shekel is the giving of Zecher LeMachatzit HaShekel, commemorative of the Machatzit HaShekel, and what is done is on Ta'anit Esther, on Erev Purim, in other words, to give three, half whatever the currency of your country is. In Israel, we are fortunate to have a currency called the shekel, so we don't give a half dollar or a half pound or a half franc or a half peso. We give half shekels. The custom is to give three half shekels. We'll talk about this more a week or two down the line when we get closer to that commemorative. But the concept of Machatzit HaShekel is very important, and especially in the weekly sedras that Shkalim often falls, we are able to see side by side two different types of contributions to the community. The Machatzit HaShekel was very specific, one half silver shekel of a certain weight. A rich person can't give a penny more, nor a poor person a penny less. Every single Jew was obligated to participate in the mitzvah of Machatzit HaShekel. Let me qualify that. Men from the age of 20 and up were obligated. Women, optional. Children, optional. Once a child or a woman undertakes to give Machatzit HaShekel, or in our time, Zecher LeMachatzit HaShekel, it becomes a binding commitment. But the point here is very important, and that is no one gives more and no one gives less, because to this particular collection, every single Jew is equal. A wealthy person who can afford to give more gives more to his heart's content when it is that kind of collection where that is called for. And that's exactly what we had in the construction of the Mishkan. V'yikhuli truma me'et kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhuat trumati. In Parsha Truma, God says to Moshe, tell the people to donate generously from their own heart, no specified amount. A person who didn't give, didn't give, and one who gave, gave. And that was to collect the materials for the building of the Mishkan. Mentioned specifically are gold and silver and copper and various wools that are dyed, tchelet and argaman and tolat shani, and spices and olive oil and wood, precious and semi-precious stones for the needs of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, everything that was needed for the Beit HaMikdash, in other words, for the Mishkan. In this case, people were asked to give, and people gave very generously, to the point that we had an account, Seder of Vayakel, that Moshe had to stop the people from giving. They were giving so generously. That, in contrast to the collection of the silver half shekel, where it was very carefully stated, as I mentioned earlier, He'oshir lo yarbeh v'hadal lo yamit, a rich person can't give more, a poor person can't give less. At the beginning of Pekudei, we have the records of how much gold, how much silver, and how much copper was collected. It seems, although various commentaries discuss this issue differently, it seems that the gold that was collected for the various things in the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan that needed gold was collected on a voluntary basis, as was the copper. When it came to silver, even though silver was mentioned among the materials that were to be brought each person according to his own heart, the accounting of the silver, the description of 100 kikar, talents of silver, plus 1,775 shkalim of the 3,000 shkalim in a kikar, that corresponded exactly to one half silver shekel from each of 603,550 of the count, the census of Bnei Israel when they came out of Egypt, referring to the males from military age of 20 and up. Most of the silver of that amount, when I say most, I'm talking 99.4%, was used for the adanim, the foundation sockets of the Mishkan, the concept that the foundation of this mikdash, which we are building to bring God's presence among us, the foundation, I underline that word foundation, the adanim, that came from the equal contribution of each member of Klal Yisrael. Remember, when I say each member of Klal Yisrael, in the technical manner, I am speaking of the males from age 20, but just as in subsequent years, people could, meaning women and children, can also bring or be brought for, then we can match that with the fact that there might have been women who contributed silver, not just the men who responded to the command of the half silver shekel. And there are other uses in the Mishkan for silver besides those that are mentioned in connection to the specific amount of 100 kikar, which were used for the foundation stones, and the extra 1,775 shekel, which the Torah tells us were used for the hooks and the decorations of the poles of the courtyard of the Mikdash. And you can say that any amount of silver over that, which there probably was, were used for various kelim, various vessels in temple service, what we call kli sharet. The point, silver, everyone contributed equally. That is the foundation, the starting point, the basis. when you construct the Mishkan, that's the first thing you put on the ground, the foundation sockets. Then you put the wall boards into them, and you brace the wall boards with their bolts, and you connect them with their rings, and you cover them, and you divide them and partition them and bring in the kalim. All of that is represented by the gold and the copper and the other materials, and that came from the generous contributions of a person's heart. But the foundation is the half silver shekel. Take this to the time of the Beit HaMikdash. I've said this in the past, but I think it's an important image to keep in mind when we're talking about the significance of the half shekel. Among the many things purchased for communal needs from the fund of the half shekel was the salt that was put on every single korban in the Beit HaMikdash. That means that a person who is coming with his own voluntary korban, let's say a person wants to celebrate and thank God for his good fortune, voluntary korban todah, he brings a prize bull and the accompanying wine and oil and flour to make the minachot that go with the korban todah, and he wants to also bring his own wood for the fire of the mizbeach and his own salt to put on the korbanot that will be brought on the mizbeach, because this is his celebration and his way of thanking God. The Kohanim tell him, everything is fine, you will be able to bring your korban, but the salt that goes on that korban, the minimum pinch of salt that goes on your valuable, precious, special, personal, private offering, that salt does not come from you. It comes from every single Jew who contributed to Machatzit HaShekel. Everyone is equal in that. And everyone has a tiny grain of salt share in your gift, because there is no such thing as me, myself, I, and only me. It is I, a Jew, as a member and part of Klal Yisrael. That is one of the messages of the Shkalim. And as we approach Purim, especially, we have that exchange between Haman and Ahasuerus, where when Haman wanted royal permission to destroy the Jews, what did he say to Ahasuerus? We are, we meaning the Jewish people, are a nation scattered and fractionalized among your kingdom, and it's not shaveh, not kedai, not worthy to resist my offer of destroying them, because there's no unity there, there's no threat to you there, they are scattered. We say that the shkalim that Haman wanted to contribute to the coffers of Ahasuerus when he received permission to destroy the Jews is counteracted by our shkalim, the ones that we give as a symbol of Jewish unity. Shabbat shalom and lehishtamea. Mahazikim Bah.